The Amazing Casuals, Phil and Will, are back, and we are kicking it real old school right now as Alexa, after her terrible showing last week, has decided to hide her face, bury her head in the sand, and never come back again. It is just Phil and Will for the first time on this channel in nearly 2 years, Will. How does that feel before we even get into this?
Does Alexa just not like the show? She's just not a fan of Amazing Race? I mean, she just dropped out.
Total lie. Total lie. She's definitely in this weekend. She has a friend who's in New York City, and so she wasn't going to be able to find a time to do it. So it's just Phil and Will. She's coming back for the next one. She hasn't watched this episode yet, though, which I thought this was a really fun episode. But for the OG fans, this is like all of your dreams coming true in about a 45-minute episode here. How's that feel?
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. I enjoy the three-way conversation, but you know, if we can get some fights, then that will be a good time. And I'm still confused on quite a few things, so you can do your best to explain that to me as well.
Yeah, I will do everything I can. I do enjoy the three-way conversation as well, but I think that if we can get a couple of our arguments that made everybody fall in love with us in the first place, maybe that's really all they need. Although I don't want to force any. So if we've become all lovey-dovey over the course of the last 2 years, that's just how it's got to be, you know?
That's fine too. I think either way, I'm excited.
But yeah, for anybody, we couldn't figure out a name last week. Somebody came up with the Amazing Casuals. I don't think anything is more.
No, it was the Amazing. It was the Amazing Race Casuals, and it was actually in multiple comments. Like, I mean, maybe one person saw it and then just reiterated it, or maybe two people came up with it independently of each other. But I think amazing casuals. Just cut the race part. Just
I agree.
Amazing casuals.
Yeah, because so, we're amazing. The show's amazing.
And we're casuals.
And we're casuals. For sure casuals. There could not – this is why we talked about it last week. This is why we only do a Survivor podcast, because it's the only one that we can do. So that's why Alexa and I never branched into Big Brother. And now imagine us trying to branch into Big Brother if we're going to have this hard of a time branching into the Amazing Race. Woo! I don't know.
I feel like Big Brother is more similar to Survivor, where it's like, okay, one person is eliminated each week and there are challenges and there's social strategy and gameplay, advantages, twists, all the stuff that, you know, I used to love to talk about and that you still love to talk about. Whereas, I mean, Amazing Race is a completely different show. It's a completely different animal. I'm not so much confused with what happened in the episode. I just have some, like, I felt like the first 10 minutes of this episode, while there were some interesting moments, were pretty much useless race-wise. Like, it really, and I can get into it all, you know, point by point. But overall, I really did enjoy this episode a lot. I think I enjoyed it way more than the first episode.
Oh, yeah, it was a really fun episode. I guess we're taking an over-under on how many times you're going to say animal with that poster behind you. Are you only trying to say it to draw attention to the... What is that, Will? Is that a horse?
Yeah, it's a horse. It's a framed... poster of a horse. It's a great looking horse, actually.
Great looking horse. But yeah, so this week I felt like was a much better episode. It was a lot more fun. There was a lot more going on. But yeah, this opening was it was a rehash of last week, which was a rehash of stuff that you'd seen if you'd watched any of these people on their TV show.
Yeah, let me run through just kind of what I was feeling during this opening. Like, I don't know, it was maybe the first 5 or 10 minutes. So we start the episode, and it's the Afghanimals, and it says like 12:42 a.m., and they're starting. And it's like, oh, cool, like they finished first, they're starting first. 12:45, Colin and Christy. 12:54, Tyler and Corey. 1 a.m., we have Rachel and Alyssa. 1:04, Becca and Floyd. I'm like, okay, this makes sense now. I'm getting this. Like, I feel like I'm on board. Then we go to the flight. They're all on the same flight. Mm-hmm. They had that thing where they had to get tickets, but like that felt completely useless. And then like Rupert and Laura, they left at 4:25 a.m. So like almost 4 hours after the first team, after the Afghanimals. And then they get to the airport and like Colin and Christy are like, yo, what's up? They like greet each other. And then they go to the monk thing and they're all together. And it's like, so the race part really lost me there. Oh, hey, Christian.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why he's home at 4 o'clock. I figured I was clear here. But anyway, this is one of the things that they adjusted over time. And I guess now it's called an equalizer. I was looking in the comments from last week. I guess this is an equalizer. I didn't know it had a name, but even when I was watching back in like 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, they had this where because what used to happen is people used to get on the different flights this early in the game, and then all of a sudden the team would constantly have like a 10-hour lead.
And yeah, but it's not even about flights. Like, put them all on the same flight, whatever. Put them in a hotel, and then boom. Okay, now the Afghanimals go. Then you have Rupert and Laura 4 hours later. Like, I think because that then it's like a race that carries over. Because now, like I'm saying, there's no difference between second and ninth place this week, which I think, like, that should matter. Like, when Eliza and Corinne get passed by, like, three tuk-tuks, and their tuk-tuks going, like, 50 miles an hour, and just getting rushed. Like, that, you should be like, no, that, like, that should matter, and it should mean something. And those moments fall way more flat, because it's like, okay, they're not going to get eliminated, which is the only, like, that's it. You're either getting, like, some prize, like, they got $2,500 each, yeah. Big deal, or you get sent home, which is a huge deal. So it's like, I don't know. I wish they did carry it over, especially when they tell you the times. It'd be one thing if they all started again and they reset it, but it's almost like they're trying to fool me in that, like, we're showing you that they're leaving at 12:54 a.m. and then we show Rupert and Laura leaving at 4:25 a.m. and it's like, oh wow, they're 4 hours behind. And it's like, are they? I don't. You know what I mean? Like,
you know,
it's
like
they're trying to fool me. And it's like, I'm not cool. They all started on the same thing with the monks.
I agree with you 100%. Go back and watch the old seasons, though, because it's the only time that it's really that spread out. You know why they do this. Because if you don't equalize this, Rupert and Laura would have finished this leg 14 and a half days behind these other people if they had to start 4 hours behind, realistically. Like, so what they're doing is, because it's the last place team every week, they need to make it as dramatic as they possibly can. And there will be legs that are like continuation legs where this time difference does matter, where, you know, they might finish somewhere in, I'm just making up countries, but they might finish somewhere in Switzerland and then the next day start in Switzerland and then finish that next leg somewhere where they didn't have to travel that far. And these times do come into play. But in the early legs, they want it to be as close as possible. Otherwise, there's no drama, because despite the fact that Rupert and Laura got an equalizer and two teams got U-turn and had to do both detours, Rupert and Laura still got last place to, like, this week. So they had to do something to try to keep it as even as possible early on. But it does create a situation where you do lose some good teams early at times. With a season like this, though, the Amazing Race teams are going to keep on cruising because they just know what they're doing. I mean, it was two Amazing Race teams who were able to complete two detours before Rupert and Laura could complete one. That makes a huge difference.
Right. Yeah. And I get all that. I guess my point is, like, if they're going to put it on the screen and show us that, like, okay, they left this time, then have it matter in some way. And maybe it doesn't need to be 4 hours, but maybe you can have, okay, the order of the placements is a 10-minute head start for each person. So, like, or each team. So you have the first place team start, then 10 minutes later, the second place team start, then 10 minutes later. And then Laura and Rupert are, like, what? They're, you know, 100 minutes behind. You know,
I agree. They did do this.
Behind. And that's not as bad. And, like, maybe, or even if it's 5 minutes or something where their placement matters from week to week. Because what I'm saying with the Corinne and Eliza getting passed, like, that meant nothing, even though that was a really funny, you know, it was a really funny moment. And so that's all I'm saying. And as a first time watcher, this is just, it's all coming at me at once. So this is my, like, instant reaction. But I'm sure if you've watched the show, it's like, this is how the show works. There's reasons why. Like, I totally get that. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying on my initial viewing, these are the questions I'm having.
Yeah, and another thing that I will say is, which is, they kind of gloss over now, but it was a big deal in the earlier seasons. The people who do start first go buy tickets near the very front of the plane. So they deboard before anybody else does, which
does
give
them an
advantage. Yeah, so that does give them an advantage there. I mean, granted, then they had to go sit at the monk temple. So
that was the thing. It was like they were all grouped up at, like, this one thing, which I thought the monk offering thing was really cool, but it's over and everyone rushes to a guy to get, like, a clue. It's like,
yeah, and it didn't matter who got there first.
What's that?
And it didn't matter
who got there first. Right. It was just, okay, now the race is on. And I'm not totally, like, saying that's not how it should go. I just feel a little like, why are they showing us that one team's 4 hours ahead when they're all going to end up at the same place anyway? It was a little misleading, because I was really excited once they started tracking people's, you know, departure times and things of that nature. It's like, okay, wow, this is, you know, Rupert and Laura got to catch up, and then wait a second, now they're all together. But I don't need to hammer into that. I'm just saying, that did kind of raise some eyebrows, like, huh? Like, wait a second. Like, that didn't matter.
It starts to be much more important in the last leg too, because you're racing to the finish line. You're not racing to a pit stop. You're racing to the finish line. And it starts to become a bigger deal there because every second counts. You should really watch. I think the one for season for you to watch, Will, if I'm going to tell you to watch one, at least that I've watched, watch season 3. Because
I've heard season 5 is the one to watch.
Well, that's everybody's saying that right now because Colin and Christy were on that season. And they're also here. But season 3, I think knowing your taste, season 3, especially your taste in girls, you should really watch season 3 so you can see some Flo, because Flo and Zach are insane. And like the storyline there and when they're stopping everything, I feel like that was one of the first seasons where they really started to use the time to their advantage. They did that show over the summer a couple years ago. I forget what it was called, but it was trios instead of duos. And they raced like a kind of across Morocco. And in that game, it was another one that was created by, Mark Burnett. And in that game, they got like 5 minutes head starts on people because they weren't getting on planes. They were just running. And I like that. But the Amazing Race started as like a 12-hour thing. And I think they want to keep that for the sake of just the game. You know, it's like that's just one of the things that's always been instilled into the game. And I think that they're going to keep that. And then if they equalize them, they equalize them. If they don't, they don't. But you'll see how it varies, I think, as the game goes on.
Yeah, and I'm totally ready to, like, I'm not saying this was like a mistake or like this ruins the show. Just as like, it did confuse me a little bit. Just one other confusion point before we start getting into the episode, because the episode was great. It was like Rupert and Laura were clearly in last place, and Laura's like, you know, maybe it's not an elimination leg. And then the clue they read, like last person, last team, might be eliminated. Like, how often does that happen? And that kind of jumped out to me as like, huh, like maybe someone gets eliminated, maybe not.
So what happens a lot of the time, I think there's maybe about 2 or 3 per season where the teams don't get eliminated. Once again, this is why you need to watch season 3. But they've installed these non-elimination legs, and especially on an 11 team season, I think they used to have 13 team seasons. And so now on an 11-team season, they have more room to keep the teams around. And a lot of times these non-elimination legs are earlier in the game, or at least one of them will be early in the game. So I wouldn't be surprised if next week there was a non-elimination leg. They want to do that because they want to get the most out of these people for as long as they can. When you're comparing Survivor to The Amazing Race, the characters really, they're important to the show because, you know, everybody's it was very important to watch the Afghanimals and Tyler and Corey and Nicole and Victor. Like, I love watching all these people. But on Survivor, the characters matter so much more because what they're doing impacts the game a lot. Whereas in this one, like, a lot of this is out of the player's control. When you're driving in a tuk-tuk, if you get a crappy tuk-tuk driver, they just drive by. So
part of the game.
I think you got to be able to pick out
your tuk-tuk driver and, like, let them know, like, buddy, we're in a race. Mm-hmm. Like, step on it. Here's some extra cash to like break the speed limit here, which I think the Amazing Racers probably do. And like Eliza and Corinne are kind of like, huh? Like, why is our tuk-tuk going so slowly? It's like the other teams are telling their tuk-tuk drivers to, like, you know, step on
it. Oh yeah. No, absolutely. But I'm just saying that's why they do these non-elimination legs, especially early on. And I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm actually a little surprised that Rupert and Laura in this leg, it wasn't a non-elimination leg, especially since these are returning players from all these different shows. I figured they would want to keep as many of these teams around as possible. So make the first leg an elimination leg to make it down to 10 teams and then have a non-elimination leg so that you're not losing a Rupert in episode 2. Rupert was going to lose in episode 3 had he made it to episode 3, but anytime you can just milk it for one more episode. I really do think next week will probably be a non-elimination leg, though. But then again, I haven't watched since 2014, so maybe I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, clearly it's still part of the game, or they wouldn't have left that in the
note. Oh, it definitely is.
Yeah. It's completely possible. And I would hope to dear God that on non-elimination legs, like, your time and your place, like, completely have to matter for the next leg. If they get if they get an equalizer after a non-elimination leg, then that completely negates everything that was done in an entire episode.
Well, guess what, Will? In a non-elimination leg, that's what my Switzerland example was before, but also you have to complete a thing called a speed bump now. which is an extra challenge that nobody else has to complete, but you do if you're the last team to arrive in a non-elimination leg.
But is everyone else equalized?
I don't know. No. Like, I don't think that there's actually an equal. They normally don't equalize. That's why I was saying, like, there will be parts where, like, they might end in a country and then you might end in that country again at the end of the next episode. So you're never getting on a plane to be equalized. And what I'm saying is, like, there's a speed bump that the team in last also has to complete. So if you come in 3 hours behind everybody else, you also have to complete something that might take you another hour that nobody else has to do.
No, I get all that. I guess because you keep bringing up this plane thing, it's like the plane is bound to equalize them. And that's where I'm like kind of disagree. It's like you could put them all on the same plane and then just start them at different intervals. I mean, I've already said that. We don't need to keep going.
Yeah.
Into this, but like I'm not the plane thing and then be on the same plane, logistics and all that. Like I totally get that. That makes total sense. It was just like the monk thing literally had them sitting all together and then it was over and then they just got up and got their clue. Let's get into the meat of this episode. I think the first thing that after the monk, unless you want to talk about anything but before the monk stuff.
No, I don't want to talk about anything before the monk stuff. I don't think that anything happened. Chris and Brett didn't even wake up.
There was the fun team that said, like, okay, we're gonna help Rachel and Alyssa, and then like they didn't.
And Rachel was sort of like, what the hell? This is like where Rachel just like drives me up a wall, and I can't wait for her to start having her breakdowns, which she almost had one at the barbecue part of this episode. But like they really didn't like ditch Rachel and Alyssa. Rachel and Alyssa just like didn't follow them. They went the other way and weren't paying attention. And it's like they don't have to turn around and be like, come on, team of Rachel and Alyssa. I mean, Rachel's played reality TV so many times now that she knows how to get her screen time and she knows what she's doing. And like, she knows when to be dramatic. And that was literally in the matter of a second. It was, we're working with Team Fun. We hate Team Fun. It like, you couldn't even, she didn't even take a breath. It was instant. So I loved it.
See, I'm liking Rachel so far. And maybe it's because I haven't seen her on any of these other shows, exactly. But it seemed to me like they were like, okay, let's work together. And then Team Fun went off and didn't say, okay, we're going to go this way. Like, come with us. Like, I know they don't have to like force them. It's not like they're on a leash or anything, but you could turn around and say, hey, we're going, like, come on. But it didn't seem like that happened. So, I mean, of course, I mean, who knows what really happened, but we get to the U-turn here.
And that's where they had to play up the drama for the U-turn.
Right. And then that was the whole point. So they get to the U-turn. Now, is it the first team that gets there? So I guess Rachel and Alyssa were first there. It's their decision who they get to U-turn because there are some teams behind them like saying, do it. Do they have a choice to just hop in and do it themselves? Or like, how does that all work?
So the way the U-turn works is it's the first team to arrive has the first option. You don't have to U-turn somebody. So that's why Nicole and Victor, I think it was Nicole and Victor who were saying, we're not going to U-turn anybody. So that's why it was like Rachel and Alyssa were saying, well, maybe we shouldn't, maybe we should. You don't have to U-turn somebody because what's that doing is putting a target on your back. So now if Becca and Floyd end up getting to a U-turn before Rachel and Alyssa the next time, they're going to U-turn Rachel and Alyssa to send them back to have to do both detours. So it creates enemies. And this is where strategy actually does come into the game. And that's why Leo and Jamal had Team Fun U-turn Tyler and Corey instead of them doing it, because now it looks like it's Team Fun's fault and not Leo and Jamal's fault, despite the fact that Leo and Jamal were going to do it anyway.
Right. And it's, I mean, I'm sure Tyler and Corey aren't that upset with Team Fun just because it's like they were all, like, if you get U-turned, you're going to have to U-turn another team just to give yourself a shot.
Absolutely. Know? Yeah, so absolutely. Especially on a double U-turn. They don't always have double U-turns though. Normally, like, or I don't know if it's normally, but back in the day when I watched, it was just a single U-turn. So it would just be one team U-turning another team. But the other thing is you could think you're in first place. Like Rachel and Alyssa could have thought they were in first place, but Corinne and Eliza could have been ahead of them. And Corinne, they could have tried to U-turn Corinne and Eliza already passed. So they don't have to do both detours.
Yeah, I was wondering that, like with the picture frames. I was saying, okay, maybe you arrive there and then you take your photo out once you've already gotten there so that other teams can't U-turn you. Yeah. But I guess that's not the case.
Yeah, they like so you don't take yours out. And that's part of the risk. You could try, like you could think like, oh, we're in first place. We'll do it because they're our biggest competition and think you're ahead of them, but really you're behind them. And then you catch up to them and you're like, crap, we just wasted a U-turn. You know what I mean? So not that the other team will ever know unless they start hearing it from the other teams, which I'm sure they would. But yeah, there's also been this thing called blind U-turns, which are kind of fun, where you U-turn a team and you don't have to say it was you. So you could U-turn, like the Afghanimals could U-turn Tyler and Corey, or U-turn somebody that they're aligned with if they show up at the same time as somebody that, you know, who their alliance is like enemies with, and they could U-turn that team and they'll never know that it was them. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get it. Could you – I'm just wondering. I thought the picture frames were just like a cool – it was a very cool visual. Could I send you up ahead? Let's say you are on a team with Alexa and Vaughn and I are on a team. And I say, okay, if you guys get there first, or, you know, if we get there first, we'll pull our pictures out of the U-turn box.
I don't think you can pull the U-turn. Is that allowed? I don't think you can do it, no.
Okay.
I don't think they would
like. Just
wondering. Yeah, I don't think they would like. I mean, I don't know enough about it, but I think that's the point, is like that there's some strategy. So you have to keep track of who's ahead of you, who's behind you at all times. You know, and I'm surprised that I guess the Amazing Racers are trying to get the Amazing Racers out, but it seems like everybody's against the Survivor teams, which I think is kind of surprising because the Survivor teams are so unthreatening. But I also think that it might be something to do with like a show rivalry where like, you don't want a Survivor team to win because like Survivor's the biggest of the shows. So there might be like right. a little like jealousy there, and they're trying to take the Survivor teams out. So it's Big Brother versus Amazing Race.
I think there's a little of that where it's like Survivor is the bigger show, but there's also like, okay, if we're Amazing Racers, we can't let someone from another show come in and win on their first try when we've done this before.
Yeah.
Like that. I mean, I think that's probably an even bigger part of it. But the only really animosity I saw towards Survivor teams was the Eliza and Corinne team, which I thought was smart by them. They were just running straight ahead in front of the tuk-tuk. And I don't think this was like a malicious move. You're running somewhere, and it's like there are teams behind you, and you're in a race. And to like, they want you to move out of their way so they can go in front of you. I thought this was... For the Afghanimals to be like, man, they're nasty. Like, they're snakes. And I get the snake thing was also, you know, referring to that they were kind of zigzagging through the road. That's just a smart move. And I think they took it to a kind of a malicious level. Like, now, like, we're putting out a hit on that team. We don't like them. Like, we're going to take any opportunity we can to, you know, go after them in a malicious way. Whereas like Corinne and Eliza were just running the race.
Well, and let me ask you something though. What do you know about Janelle and Brittany right now?
That's the team I was gonna say I know the least about.
So this is what I'm saying. The Amazing Race is one of those shows, and you know, you've been watching Survivor since day one. So there's purple edits. There's always somebody on each season that doesn't really get much. The Amazing Race is one of those shows though, where like if you don't create your own screen time, you're not gonna get much screen time. Because you need to, like, because the race is always going on, they can just show you doing the challenge. You don't need to have these confessionals or explain what your strategy is unless you're creating that. And I think the Afghanimals are fantastic at creating storylines. And I think they're doing this on purpose, you know, being a little over the top with everything so that they make sure that they're the face of the season, or at least that's what they're trying to be, so they can play Amazing Race as many times as they want. And that's my perception of why they're being so over the top with Corinne and Eliza. Because I think even when they were sitting outside of the monastery, I think that the way that they were talking about it, the way they edited it, made it look like Corinne and Eliza were mad. But I really think that was like playful ribbing of like, can't believe you're doing this. Like what? Like I really do think that it was more playful than it was malicious.
Yeah, I mean it's, and again, like they're in a race.
Yeah.
Are you expect them to get out of your way because you're in a vehicle? Like, no. So I thought that was a good move by Corinne and Eliza. I was proud of them there.
Yeah, I agree. And honestly, I'll say this. I thought Corinne and Eliza were incredibly impressive tonight. I thought they
it was all that tuk-tuk driver at the end.
Yeah, but it did have the great line of, we are comfortably in third place. Oh God, there's a team passing us. Oh God, there's a team passing us. Oh no, another team just, that was hilarious. But I do think that the way they did the detour was fantastic. And I liked how they compared it to Brett. How would Brett say all of this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And they just went down the line, and they probably got that on their second or third try. Like, I don't think that was edited for anything because they were in first place. Corinne and Eliza were in first place at a point during the Amazing Race. Like, who would have ever had their
money? So are Rupert and Laura last week.
True.
They were the first one to go to either the lock place or the Tokyo restaurant.
That's true. But yeah, so I thought that this was like, I thought Corinne and Eliza were really good tonight. Really impressive. But yeah, they got to learn how to pay the tuk-tuk drivers to speed and do crazy stuff because otherwise...
Yeah, that's something that seems to me like a huge part of this. Like, you got to, whatever it be, a taxi or a boat ride or whatever vehicle you're in, you got to say, hey, like, here's some extra dough. And how does that work? Are they just paying money out of hand or they get starting money and it's...
They get money at the start of each leg. So they used to tell you how much money they got at the start of each leg. I guess they don't do that anymore. Again, this is one of those things, like, much like how Survivor has cut things out, you know, from season one to season 38, Amazing Race has done the same thing. And it used to be like, you will get $1 for the start of this leg. And like, then you might have to try to get trade with people or anything like that. But they used to tell you how much money they were getting for each leg. It probably doesn't ever have an impact anymore. Really, in terms of who goes home, but I'm sure if it did, they would say how much money they got for that leg of the race. Because there have been times where people ran out.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, if someone is paying their tuk-tuk driver a lot to speed, and then they get to another, you know, detour or U-turn, whatever it may be, and it, you know, might need some money, like going to a market, and they're like, mm-hmm. Shit, I gave it all to my tuk-tuk driver. You know, I could see that happening.
Absolutely. Yeah, so they used to tell you, they don't tell you anymore, but go back and watch Colin and Christie's first season. I'm sure they tell you all the time. And I don't know what Colin's bail money was set out when he was getting ready to be thrown in jail and have charges pressed against him. I'm sure that was a fun time for CBS. But anyway, what did you think of the detours? Which one would you have done? And yeah, which one would you have done?
Well, I was just going to ask you this. How much information do they get about either of these? Do they get like ABCs and BBQ and that's it? Or is it like, okay, you're going to go to a market and prepare barbecue food for a guy, or you got to go learn the ABCs of this? Like, how much do they know?
It probably says something along the lines of like ABC, and then it's like tree mail. That's essentially what it is. It'll be like ABC, and it'll give like a brief like riddle about it. So you don't exactly know what you're going to have to do, and then barbecue, and it'll give a brief riddle. So you don't know exactly what it is, but you know enough. It's kind of the same thing as when they get the roadblocks. It's like, who wants to be in command? You're trying to just get like as much information out of that one little line as you can to figure out which would be easiest. So you don't have all the, you don't know you have to pick up, you know, 8 fish and 3 ducks. You don't know that until you actually get to the market. You don't know you have to learn all 26 letters of the Laos alphabet until you get there. But you at least have
an idea. Were there 26 letters?
It was close. I think that he said it was 26, but maybe I'm wrong.
Because that's just a coincidence, I guess.
Yeah, because I know. But I think it might have been. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just assuming because I'm American.
Yeah, I mean, if I know that I have to learn the ABCs, I'd probably go that route, I think.
The ABCs.
It seems like it, with the barbecue, and again, I don't know how much information they have. It's like there are so many steps to that where you have to find where the fish is, find where the duck is, purchase them, you know, go to your little station, you're tying straw around it, you're slicing, you're cutting. It just seems like a lot where it's like, okay, ABCs, you have one task to do. And I think any time where you can kind of like, this is all we have to do, we can put all our energy into it. Like, you're not going to, when you're learning the ABCs, how badly are you going to like misstep? You know, okay, you got that letter wrong. Go back and relearn it. Whereas you could get like the wrong type of fish, or you could like tie something completely wrong. You present it to the guy and I get a re-untie. I don't know. Again, I don't know how much information they have. I would have probably gone with the ABCs.
And the ABCs, you only actually had to have one person actually say it, because Corinne wasn't saying the letter. She was just saying like cow, jar, like she was just going down the list. Like,
right, she was just helping Eliza with her, you know, phonetic trick.
Eliza had the, I guess, the ear for it. But what this is kind of a typical thing. One of them will be a more like it takes a little bit more of a skill, which is I think the alphabet. Like it's a little more tedious, and the other challenge is you can just bull your way through it, but it's probably going to take a lot longer. So that's the difference. In the challenge, like normally the detours are like that. It'll be like a tedious thing, or it might take you a little bit, or it's a really simple thing, but you have to do a lot of something. And it can go either way. I mean, sometimes the tedious thing is so tedious, nobody can complete it. And you can switch detours and go do the other one if you want to. Or sometimes, like the one I do think the barbecue one took so much longer. You had to cut all the ducks. You had to cut all the fish. You had to tie them up. You had to present them the right way. Like, that takes a lot of effort. And Corinne and Eliza might have finished their ABCs in, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes, while the other thing could have taken them just a half hour just to get the fish and
just to find where it's being sold, like the right fish.
Yeah.
The tilapia or whatever it was. And again, I was surprised that Rupert, when there's one called barbecue and one called it, I can see Rupert going, barbecue. I've been barbecuing my whole life. Like, you would think he would have done that one.
Rupert, I'm surprised his wife must have said the one thing that she said the entire episode in that moment. And it must have been, let's go do the ABCs. And instead we got Rupert saying, let's go do the ABCs. But I totally agree with you. I could see Rupert. Well, why did Chris and Brett go and do barbecue? Because they've done the barbecue before. And Brett probably had a line in there where it's like, I don't know how to spell. I don't know the alphabet.
You see Chris and Brett and there's barbecue or there's ABCs. And like, it's not surprising they do barbecue.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. Rupert, because it wasn't Team Rupert and Laura. It was Team Rupert with like Laura. Oh, like you just kind of alluded to that, where like Laura, how many things did she say on two episodes of the show? Rupert's whole thing about the elephant he just loves elephants. And he was saying, they've been my spirit animal for, he's trying to recall how long. He's like, he's going to say like maybe 3 years, maybe 10 years, maybe two decades. And then he's just like, my entire life. It's like, all right, Rupert, since you were born,
Rupert knows, man.
Raised by elephants.
Rupert knows. Oh my God, dude, I won't lie. Like, Rupert's gone. And he definitely got old in terms of Survivor because it just kept going. But I mean, anytime Rupert's on TV, I enjoy it. I think it's entertaining. Rupert's been the same Rupert since season 7 of Survivor as he is in season 31 of The Amazing Race. He's the exact same guy, and I love that.
Yeah, and I would say I'm not even tired of Rupert yet. I know a lot of people are like, oh, he's played 4 times. He hasn't really played 4 times. He's played pretty much 3 times. Yeah. And I think on all of his appearances, he's really contributed a lot. I mean, on Heroes vs. Villains,
great,
he was a big character in that season. That's regarded as one of the best seasons. So if Rupert wants to come back and play Survivor. What?
And so is Pearl Islands.
Oh, Pearl Islands is the OG Rupert. We can't, no one's disputing that. But yeah, I mean, Blood vs. Water, he was barely there. I'm still game for more Rupert. I enjoyed him on The Amazing Race, so.
I agree. I totally agree with that. I just know that there's a lot of people who think it's stale, but Alexa would be here arguing with us if she was here to say how much she can't stand Rupert. She didn't even like him on Pearl Islands. And I just sit there and I'm like, what? Who are you? Why are you doing this podcast with me? Get out of here.
He was iconic on Pearl Islands.
But that's what happened. She didn't watch until season 12. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, these detours, the thing I really liked about them was the judging. And they're a little bit subjective. Like, where last week, okay, you had to go to the top of the slippery tower and you grab the clue. Okay, there's no disputing whether you did that correctly or not. You either got the clue or you didn't. Brett got up there and didn't grab the clue. That didn't count. You bite into the flip-flops. Clearly one is chocolate, clearly one is wood. Where here it's the ABCs. Like, who's to say if you're pronouncing this correctly? And I loved how it was a classroom of kids. They'd either clap when you got it right, or they would go, they'd laugh at you if they got it wrong. Especially they go, oh, or like, no, they'd make some sort of face and kind of point at you and scoff. I thought that was really, really clever. And the same thing with the other detour, where it's like, this is the guy who's about to go grill these. He knows how they need to be done. He can look at you and tell you, no, this won't work. Like, you have to tie this differently for what I need to do. And, we didn't hear much from him, but he had a big smile when it was presented correctly. He gave them the clue. So that's something that, you don't see much of that in Survivor or Big Brother, where you have, subjective challenges. I know we've seen some of the shelter building, of course, was one in the early days of Survivor. We all SOS had,
signs.
You know, the SOS sign.
They made the toilet one time.
You had to build the shed, the toilet shed. I'm trying to think of some other ones. But there aren't that many. And so seeing that and then seeing how they were judged, and it seemed very fair. I mean, that's always the risk with subjective challenges, is like whether they is production just saying, okay, we want this team to win or we want this team to lose. But I really am a fan of that and just loved how both of these were judged.
Yeah, and they do that often on The Amazing Race. And I'm pretty sure the producers tell them exactly what they're looking for, like what specific things need to be done right. For instance, they had to have the slices in the fish and the way it was tied. I think those were the two most important things that the judge was looking for. Because there'll be times where, like, you're just never going to make it look as good as the you know what I'm trying to say. You're never going to make it look as good as that. But, you know, they have to, like, move you on if you're close, if you've got some of it right. And I think, like, they're looking for specific things in each of these. They're looking for the specific sounds. I think, like, they were saying it's tonal, it's high, it's low, it's high, it's low, it's high, it's low. And I think that's what they were looking for. They weren't going to let Rupert just stand there and be like, ow. Like they weren't gonna let him do that. Like he had to go up, down, up. Like that was the important part.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're told pretty explicitly what they need to do, especially on the barbecue side. But I wouldn't be surprised if on the alphabet side, it's like imagine someone from, you know, let's say Laos comes to the United States. They don't know a lick of English, and for them to go A, B, C, D, and you have a classroom of American kids, like judge it. Like they'll know when you get it right. Wrong. Like that's not something that's like, well, you know, did you say D or did you say do? It's like, no, it's like, or they would say probably da, because everything was ended in that, you know, ah sound. It's pretty clear to tell. So I wouldn't be surprised if they said, all right, kids, like, and there's also the teacher there too. Like they're gonna be are like that, that's, you know, that works or that doesn't work. But again, big fan of both these. And then we get to the elephants, which was awesome.
Great roadblock. And so for the elephants, Will, I have a big theory on why some teams did well and some didn't. Do you know what my theory is going to be?
I would say if you spend a lot of your time meditating, that you're going to be able to be in sync with the elephants. And when you say pani, pani, you have to say it with that.
But there was no
pai, pai. And you have to say it with that grace and with that calmness that you can only get if you meditate.
You were close. That your theory? Close. Here's my theory. A lot of the people in Laos had higher pitched voices. That was just something I think that's something that we noticed on the show, and the people who are talking about the elephants and everything, like they have higher pitched voices. They don't have a gruff Rupert voice. And so if you notice, the people who were doing really well had higher pitched voices. The people who were having a really hard time were Rupert, were Chris, were Becca. They were having a really hard time getting the elephants to do what they wanted to do, because I don't know how an elephant's brain works, and I do a Survivor podcast. So maybe I'm just blowing smoke up everybody's butt right now. But the way I'm looking at it is I feel like the elephant kind of reacts not so much to the word, but to the sound of it. And it is used to a softer sound. And if you notice, all of the women except for Becca did a really great job in this challenge because their voices are higher pitched. And Tyler did a great job. I think it's Tyler. Maybe it's Corey. I'm so bad with the same sex.
Yeah, I can kind of identify the teams, but once we get down to the name of the, like, Leo or Jamal,
I don't know who wrote the elephant. But whoever it was, they had a higher pitched voice, or they were able to get their voice to that higher pitch. Rupert couldn't get his voice there. And yeah, half the time he's saying, please God, which is not one of the words to get the elephant to move. But the elephant is looking for that, like, pie, like softer enunciation, and it wasn't getting that. And I think that's why somebody like Chris couldn't get his elephant to walk straight, and Tyler or Corey, it's Tyler slash Corey, had no problem just getting his elephant to go across, and they picked up so much time coming through there.
Yeah, and you have to wonder, this might be a little bit like the tuk-tuk driver. Which one do you pick? I mean, sometimes you're going to get a driver who's, you know, not as aggressive, that, you know, hey, you could offer them money and, you know what, no, we're going to go to the speed limit. You know, I don't want to risk getting a ticket or getting pulled over or whatever it may be. You might have a driver that's just faster and better, and you might have an elephant that, like, what if some of these elephants just weren't as, you know, as good at being elephants, I guess. They hadn't, you know, hadn't learned these commands well enough. Something I did love about the elephant part where I think it was Leo or Jamal. I was like, he said, I used to be a linguist, so let me hop on this elephant. What? You used to be a I feel like you're either a linguist or you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could have studied linguistics at some point, and that was maybe a part of his past, but I'm not sure, like, are you a linguist or are you not? I don't know. Oh yeah, I used to be a linguist. That line I thought was very funny.
I love the Afghanimals are great. They're so much fun to watch. Like everything they do. One of my favorite parts was when the Afghanimals are going and Victor and Nicole pass them in the tuk-tuk. Whoever it was, Leo or Jamal, is the same one who made the linguist comment. His face when he did it was just like, nah! It was so funny, dude. Like, it was such a brief little thing, but it was just great because they're just playing it up because they're just having a good time doing it. And they had a good time the first time too. But whatever his face was, like, I want a gif of that. Somebody send it to me. Somebody tweet it at us. It's just amazing. But yeah, I think half the time they know that they're saying ridiculous stuff and they just love playing off each other and saying ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, and then they get out, or like, you know, Nicole and Victor arrive at this, like, whatever, they're gonna get their boats, and the Afghanimals point at them and say, "That's the wrong way, that's the wrong way."
Great move.
Yeah. I don't know how you great fall move for that. Of course they're gonna, you know, why would the people that are, you know, right on your tail gonna help you in the race? But well, that's what these Big Brother and Survivor people have to learn.
That's what they have to learn. And right now, the reason I think Nicole and Victor are in the best shape, and you had said this in the first episode, but you had said that you're really liking them. The reason I think they're in the best shape out of all these other teams is because they are getting lessons on the fly. Brett and Chris are so far out of it that they're not getting those lessons because they're so far back.
And yeah, no one's passing them in the tuk-tuk because they're behind them all to begin with.
And Janelle and Brittany are kind of just like latching on. But Nicole and Victor just lost out on, it's only $5,000, but they just lost out on $5,000 because
some really simple trick.
Because Nicole just fell for it. Yeah, because Nicole fell for the Afghanos. And the Afghanos have been doing it since day one. And that's also what I like about them. They're not afraid to be the villains. But, you know, you were talking about where does the strategy come into this game. This is where it comes in. Because people, you know, Nicole and Victor now probably aren't going to trust the Afghanimals very much moving forward because everything they say so far has really been a lie.
Yeah, and I think there might be strategy. I mean, it depends how much you value $5,000. There might be some strategy, especially with, you know, my big kind of rant at the opening of this podcast about how, you know, there's this big equalizer that there's no difference between first place and ninth place. I mean, maybe it will, you know, there might be some difference in the future. But if I'm Leo and Jamal, I'm now first place in both of the first two legs. Like, you're going to get U-turned. You're going to get hit with whatever negative things other teams can throw at you. Like, you are target number one, where Nicole and Victor, they're second place. They're a Big Brother team. And now they don't have that big, like, oh, they just won the leg. Like, they haven't won any legs yet, even though they got second place.
There's three teams that are instantly threats coming in. The Afghanimals, Tyler and Corey, and Rachel and Alyssa. And because of that, because those three teams are such big threats,
why are Colin and Christy, why are Colin and Christy not in that group?
I think because they haven't played in so long. They're just the older pair. They've changed so much. I don't think anybody's really worried about them because they played. You got to think, like, if you were to watch a season of Survivor and you had somebody like Ethan Zahn on or you had Tony Vlachos, who are you more worried about? You're more worried about Tony because Tony's crazy and Tony will do whatever he has to do.
He's just top of mind.
Top of mind. And Ethan's just kind of like, yeah, you know what you're going to get from Ethan. He might be a great player, but you know what you're going to get. Like Colin and Christy, I could see them winning this entire season, like no problem, because they are so even keeled because they're not making enemies and they're playing a very middle of the road game.
That's why they're even keeled. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. But because they're just playing such a middle of the road game, they're not making enemies. So they're not going to get U-turned. They don't have to U-turn anybody else. I don't think they'll finish last in a leg anytime soon because you have the Survivor teams, you have Janelle and Brittany, you have, I don't even know. Rachel and Alyssa will probably fall apart at some point, but they're a threat right off the bat because Rachel has played so many times. And everybody knows how good Rachel actually is at the race. Despite being as crazy as Rachel is so good at the Amazing Race. So I think that's why these people were going to be threats no matter what. Tony comes out for Game Changers and he's crawling around making spy bunkers or whatever right next to places. he's crawling around in the woods because Sandra's standing there. He's doing all that because he knows he's a huge threat anyway. And I think that's how the Afghanimals are. It's like, if we're going to be huge threats, we're just going to keep on going. Like, we're just going to do everything we can. And even if these teams get U-turned, as we saw this week, two Big Brother teams get U-turned. And how hard was it for them to still come back and defeat Rupert and Laura? It wasn't even competition.
You mean two amazing race teams, guys.
Two amazing race. Yes, that's what I meant. Thank you. Yeah. And thank you for correcting me before somebody yelled at me.
Oh, you got to correct yourself quickly or you will get torn apart. We never answer this question. Like, you arrive first at a U-turn. Do you U-turn someone or do you leave it for other people? And then the same kind of question is like, what if you're the fourth team there and no one's U-turned anybody yet?
So it all depends on the leg. And it depends on how much of a threat. If you can get somebody, like, let's say you get there fifth and you're Brett and Chris and you know the Afghanimals are behind you and you're in like the, let's say it's the final eight. It's not final 10, but it's final eight. And you're in fifth place and the Afghanimals are in sixth and you can U-turn the Afghanimals. You U-turn the Afghanimals because you make them have to do the two detours and it gives you a bit of an advantage, especially if you've been running behind them the entire race. But this early, I'm probably not U-turning anybody because all you're doing is putting a target on your back. And like Rachel and Alyssa taking that one little petty moment and then turning it into, we're going to U-turn Team Fun. Well, now Team Fun survives that anyway. And Team Fun can have no problem U-turning Rachel and Alyssa the next time because they could be ahead of Rachel and Alyssa, no problem. So like, I don't think I would U-turn this early, but it makes sense what Team Fun did because they had to U-turn somebody. Otherwise, you know, what are they going to do? So I don't know. It really depends on the situation, depends on the leg, depends on how you feel about your partner. Like if I'm Brett and Chris, and I get there first, I'm U-turning because they're not running very good right now. In fact, I don't know if they're, I feel like they're walking on a treadmill on one speed, you know?
Yeah. I was thinking that I would probably do it no matter what, just because if you can, like, if you're putting someone that far behind, like they have to do two challenges. And like, even if they do survive, whatever, like you're just preventing yourself from going home that leg. And I think that's how you have to look. Like, we got to get, you know, and again, this, it could be different based on the different, if they have different start times, but if everyone's all together and within 10 minutes of each other, it's like, oh crap. Like, who knows what this leg is going to be? I could neither. I could go home.
Let me ask you this. If you're an amazing race team, right? And you're running with a team that got lost in a park, according to Rupert, for 4 hours because they were looking for a hidden immunity idol. So let's say you're an amazing race team and you have that guy there. Are you really going to try to U-turn somebody else? Because you've got to be assuming that's going to be 10th place.
Yeah, I don't know, because I think each leg's so different where it's like Rupert and Laura, yeah, they struggled pretty. I mean, they weren't that bad. It was pretty much them finding the park, right? They were in, I think, like 7th or 8th place when they went to look for the park. I could be wrong on that. Maybe, you know, it did take them a while to find the flip-flop shop.
It did, yeah.
But just because the legs are so different, I can't count on someone being last place twice in a row.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to rely on that. I mean, this depends on how much information I have about the task. Like, if one of them is learning the ABCs, you know, that might, and I know exactly, you know, what's involved with it, that might, you know, change my decision. How many times does a team get U-turned and still survive? I mean, is it
a lot?
Is it like most times they get U-turned, they survive, or is it the other way?
I don't know how it is recently, but early on when the U-turn first got introduced into the game, normally that team was in a lot of trouble. And then it kind of like, these challenges like aren't that hard. It also matters who you're racing against. It really does. Like if you're in an early leg and you have a team that's just really weak, like what does it matter? I mean, I don't know if there was a U-turn in this leg, but there was one season with Connor and Dave, their first season, before they came back for All-Stars, where Dave tore his Achilles. And so he tore his Achilles. And if there was a U-turn that leg and you U-turned to anybody other than Dave and Connor, well, they weren't going to finish that leg. And then when they did finish, like they weren't going to be a threat. So they were going to go home. So that U-turn was kind of useless. It really, there's so much luck involved and there's so many like random things that can happen. You could have a taxi in a place that just goes the complete wrong way and you don't realize until you're so far the wrong direction. So I don't know. It really does depend. I would say it's probably like 60-40. You don't survive, but that depends too. If the U-turn's like in final five, you're in a lot of trouble if you get U-turned at like final five or six.
Right. Yeah. Cause I was thinking also like, okay, I U-turn someone then I'm going to get you turned later in the game. You know, I just imagine that it's possible to do two of these before someone does one of them. Like that's, they've been, you know, tested and they like, they want that. They don't want the person who gets U-turned to just go home.
Yeah.
I mean, and sometimes, but.
And another thing that you could do too, if you get there first, is you could just U-turn a team that you know is going to be bad. Like you could have, they could have easily just U-turned Rupert and Lauren and said, okay, now we're not going home this week anyway. And like, you're not U-turning a team that could get revenge on you later, the way that Team Fun seems like they're going to get their revenge on Rachel and Alyssa at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that seems, I think that seems like the smarter move, where it's like, okay, you know, unless there's a really big threat out there with a really big lead. And again, this depends on how much of this, like how much we're keeping track of the race from episode to episode, or if we are equalizing. But if there is a team that's won the first two legs and they, let's say they have like a 4-hour lead, then it's like, okay, let's just bring them back down to earth. And I also think if you U-turn someone who has a big lead and who has, you know, is a big
But you can't threat, U-turn them because they're ahead of you.
Oh, you can't.
No, well, what, I guess it packed.
Depends.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay.
But like, let's say you and I, and then, or what was it? It was me and Alexa and you and Vaughn. You get to be with Vaughn. So it's me and Alexa, and then it's you and Vaughn. And like, let's say there's seven teams left, but the two of us are like way at the front and we have a 4-hour lead collectively. Whoever gets there first could U-turn the other team to create an even bigger lead to ensure that, like, you know, you get first place.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't do that. If I was in a huge lead, I probably wouldn't U-turn at all.
I'm just saying, like, that's the only way you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm just you know, it's weird because so far Leo and Jamal have won the first two legs. I don't know where they're gonna start next week, but from what it looks like, they're no further along in the game than, you know, these other teams.
Yeah, and that's why they give away the prizes each week too, is because, like, yeah, you won the first two legs, but you can easily fall back. But even if they only win the first two legs, they got a vacation in Fiji or something, and then they also got a $2,500 each. So, like, you've already won that. To me, it's like, okay, you won two legs, you've won enough. It's not $1 million.
Yeah.
You've won things that are at least adding up.
I don't know how I feel about the prize. I mean, again, like I said this last week, I want first place to, like, influence the actual amazing race, like the big
watch
race.
Early seasons.
But we'll see. I mean, it may not, like you said, it might not be like that every week.
Yeah, no, exactly. So it's going
to, it's totally, like, yeah, they get a cruise, but like, I don't get to see them go on the cruise. You know,
no, you could, they're going to film the entire thing and you could just watch it on Twitch or something. I don't know. What was I going to say? There was one other thing. Oh, well, when you're talking about Leo and Jamal this week, especially, would they beat Nicole and Victor by like a minute, 2 minutes? Like, they're going to be starting back to back. It didn't look as close because they had to go up the stairs, but they probably only beat them by a minute. And then all those other teams that started coming in where Phil was like, oh, here comes another team. Here comes another team. Here comes all those teams are going to be going 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. So right. Don't be surprised if there isn't an equalizer next week, because there is no reason to have an equalizer next week.
Right. Yeah. No, I hope they give people head starts for finishing first. I guess the last little part of this leg, like the boats, it just didn't seem like there was if you got on your boat, you knew exactly where you were going and boom, you got there.
Yeah,
it wasn't really. That was just a fun little. That was. It's like, okay, whoever gets to their boat for like that's. And I don't know if anyone got passed on their boat ride.
I doubt it. I think it's like because you had to. They weren't going to let you like crash into somebody's boat. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And
like,
they weren't.
It's just
driving.
Kind of a big. Yeah, they weren't even. I don't think they were driving the boats. Yeah.
Yeah. So the only way you're going to pass them is if they're really slow going up the stairs. But that wasn't the case. But I guess because we are supposed to be talking about some Survivor people, Brett and Chris. At least Chris had the moment where he was riding the elephant, calling it Brett. So at least we had that from the two of them this week. We didn't see much from them. They seem like they're struggling right now, man. Brett seems like his like heart is just like is not.
I'm sure it's working. Tiring. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. They're hurting, and I'm sure they wish they were sitting around a campfire right now. But I do think that I love that because at least we're still getting the ribbing, and I like that. Those are things that are never going to be said on Survivor because you're playing against each other so hard. But on this, it's like, what? He's lovable. He doesn't listen to anybody. He doesn't really move too fast. But at least he's lovable. Like, he said lovable twice, but everything in between was a huge insult. So at least we had that. But I still think that they're going to – I think that they're going to be okay for a little bit because I think that I don't think that they'll ever be near the top of a leg, but I feel like they'll be able to like beat some of these teams that might have gotten a little lucky this week or who really haven't felt it out just yet. So, but they're running out.
And again, with like these things being so different, I don't see how I can really like they might have a leg where they're really good at everything and it fits their skills. I'm not really sure what to look out for that's really going to fit Brett and Chris's skills. I guess there is a lot of running, so you're going to be able to run quickly and be in shape. That seems like one thing that you're really going to want as a skill. But, I mean, like biting into a flip-flop or, you know, learning the ABCs in a different language, these aren't things that I can look at someone and say, okay, wow, Becca and Floyd, they're going to be really good at learning ABCs.
But they were. So, they were so good.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? You wouldn't have known that before it starts. So, and I like that. It's like, you know, in Survivor, you have like your challenge beasts, like, you know, Joey Amazing and Ozzy. And it's like Survivor challenges, they are similar in the skills they test. Like there's, you know, you're going to have to swim and dive down, or you're going to have to throw things. Or you're going to have to, you know, have balance going across a beam. You know, they test similar traits, but I mean, week to week on Amazing Race, I can see any of these teams going home. Like Leo and Jamal, like what if there's something they're just really bad at and they go home next week? Like I don't predict that happening.
Yeah.
But again, I haven't watched just from the first two episodes I've seen. It seems like, okay, there's a variety of things being tested.
Yeah. And I think it starts to get a little bit less random. I think the early legs, like I actually think that if you're really good at racing, the early legs are the hardest part because it is really random. But once you get into it, I think it starts to become less random. And yeah, you're stuck with better teams. But if you watch every season of The Amazing Race, there's always like one team who's at least in the final five that you go, how the hell are they still in The Amazing Race?
Because you don't need to be first. You just need to not be last.
Yeah. Exactly. So I actually think that the earlier stages are a little bit harder where you'll see a really good team. Like I would not be surprised if you see like one of these really good teams have a really bad leg. Like I said, Art and JJ, they got second place on their season. And then they were just first out because he got a cramp and couldn't climb Mount Fuji. I don't know. It random things can happen that just knock people out, but we'll see how it goes. Who's your prediction to win though, since you've never watched any?
I think I'll just stick with my Nicole and Victor team.
They seem really. I feel like even if they
seem
win,
like they're good. I also like them. They're fun. You know, I wish I could pick a survivor. Like they're not the team I'm necessarily rooting for. I'm rooting for Brett and Chris, and then Corinne and Eliza. But their prospects aren't looking as bright.
Yeah,
so far
I agree, and I do think that even if Victor and Nicole don't actually beat all of the Amazing Race teams, they'll probably be the last team standing that's not a Survivor or Big Brother team. I mean, that's not an Amazing Race team. So they'll be the last standing out of the Survivors and the Big Brothers because they just feel like they know what they're doing. And I think they get along really well together.
I think that's important too. Getting along and just being able to communicate effectively without, you know, losing your mind.
Yeah. Because I think we saw a little bit of a sassy Brett come out in this episode when he was like, I'll do it. And then Chris was like, are you sure? He's like, fine, you just do it. And I thought that was, I was like, ooh, they're about to get the fisticuffs already. But is that all we got? We just covered this for an hour. It was just the two of us. It was back to the good old days.
Yeah, no, I think this was a really fun episode. And I think what made this episode so great was just the team interaction. There was so much more of it this episode than in the premiere. Where it's like in the premiere, they were sitting and choosing flip-flops to eat, and you bite into one, and it's, you know, either wrong or you're right. And yeah, other teams might be around there, but you weren't really like helping or hurting the other teams as you were going. And like I said, I would have loved for four or five teams to be on the Mount Fuji thing at once. So, you know, one slides down and knocks them out. Like that's the moment I was looking for last season. It seems this week, you know, they were all bunched together. You know, they were building their barbecue things all at the same time. They had to pop in and out for the ABCs. They were just closer together. You know, we had the tuk-tuks passing each other. The elephant was great. Like, Corinne, make your elephant go faster. You know, what a funny thing to say. All these elephants lined up, and You know, you get your elephant to pass another elephant. I love when the teams are close together and interacting. And, you know, even at the end with Becca, or not with that, Nicole and Victor. I keep wanting to call her Becca for some reason. That's all really fun. So I hope for more of that, where teams are, you know, doing the same tasks at the same time or in close proximity to each other.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you were complaining about in episode one, where it was like, we didn't get enough of that. And this week we had so much of it. It was great. It led to a lot of really good moments. So, but yeah, we'll be back with episode three at some point. Alexa will be there probably some point next week. But I mean, yeah, I had a really fun time watching this. It's actually,
me too,
with Survivor, I feel like I have to break it down so much that with this, it's just like, I can sit there and just laugh at it and just be like, whatever. With like Survivor, I have to be like, who's going to win? I got to figure something out. You know,
it's very light. It's very fun. I mean, seeing these people on elephants and the elephants just go into the water and it's like, they have their eyes just barely above the water and they're sitting on top of this elephant. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch. And, you know, we have characters that we know already. And so we're, you know, a little bit invested, but I'm in, you know, I was definitely a little bit, okay, I'll watch The Amazing Race. I've always liked the concept, but never really had given it a fair shot. And I'm not sure I want to go back and rewatch, you know, 30 seasons. I don't know if
watch time one, two, for that. Three and five, I guess. Just watch three, man. Just please watch three so we can talk about it.
Well, maybe we'll have to do kind of the Amazing Casuals retrospective.
I'd be down.
Podcast where, you know, I know you and Alexa did a whole podcast on Guatemala and a whole podcast series on Panama. Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, we do one of those down.
I'd be so down, man. Especially since I watched those seasons. I would love to watch them again. I'm telling you, season three is my Vanuatu, where it's just like, how the hell did they, it's so good. But anyway, well, Will, I'll close it out because you haven't earned that right yet. Plus, I don't.
Hey, I closed that last week. I earned that right in the first.
I mean,
episode.
I guess you could attempt if you want to try to close it out. Then I'll just say like everything else that needs to be.
No, I'll let you do it.
I was just gonna. Pretty much all I'm gonna say is that Alexa and I will be back on Sunday with Jessica Pete for our predictions and power rankings for Survivor episode 11. I guess it is. Also,
it's episode 12, I think.
CBS actually counted that 1-2 episode week as just one episode, and they just called it episode 7 or whatever it was. I thought that was very interesting because normally they call it episode 7 and 8, but they only call it one episode. So whatever, we're calling it what we do. We always mess it up, and you know that's our thing. But we'll be back, I believe, at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, and then Fair Play's doing that thing on Wednesday. If anybody's in L.A., go to Busby's. Fair Play's doing his little podcast thing. That's probably going to be sometime. I don't know who the survivors who are going, but I will
Busby's
be there.
Busby's East or Busby's West?
Busby's West, man. Busby's East is over. It's too far away. Busby's West. Everybody wants to go to Busby's.
Busby's West. East is much closer to where I usually hang out,
I guess. But Busby's West is great. So anybody who's going to be going to
I
will be there.
I like Busby's. Yeah.
They're like the same thing. Busby's East is a little bit smaller. Busby's West has more room, so it's easier to watch Survivor because you can have quiet. Busby's East, I don't think you could do that. But yeah, so that'll be on Wednesday. But yeah, so until then, just subscribe and start tweeting at Brett and tell him to retweet us or something. You know, he said he was going to, so now he has.
Yeah, let's get some amazing race love in here. I mean,
I know.
I'm loving the show. So yeah.
All right. Well, that was the terrible closing because Alexa's the one who does the closing always, and she has all the numbers in front of her. I don't have any numbers in front of me.
Follow on Twitter and subscribe and Instagram.
Yeah. Go on our Patreon. Okay, do that because that's the one that really helps. So go on Patreon. That's where you need to go find us. That's Survivor Specialist. The Amazing Casuals do not deserve a Patreon.
Should we do an Amazing Casuals Patreon page? Oh my God.
Where we pay people money for listening to us? Yeah, that sounds good. But anyway, all right. I'll see everybody on Sunday. We'll
see you guys. See you next week.
Yeah.